Folks, as I talked a little bit about in Sunday school, I keep talking, referring to Sunday school, but just a reminder, those of you not able to make it here of lately, we do have Sunday school in the morning, which is adult graded class. Have a class for the children, adult class auditorium, and a ladies class over in the fellowship on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. But folks, I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I have no idea. But I tell you what, I don't think it's going to be dead as 4 o'clock in a graveyard. I think it's going to be lively. I think we're going to be all about Him, and we're going to be worshiping, praising God. And some of you have never said amen or praise the Lord in church are all of a sudden going to do so. Come on now. Why not rehearse and enjoy ourselves in church? I'm not saying to get carried away, but if I'm going to get carried away, I want to get carried away in Him. Amen. Overcoming the temptation of sin. We started last week. And I'll kind of do a quick intro again and recap, and we'll go over the last 2 points. I want to remind you once again about choir practice and the evening service and the fellowship. It's a unique service. We have testimonies for those who would like to share a testimony, a few congregational songs, some special music, just a time of worship and praising the Lord, and then getting together for a few snacks and sandwiches and just enjoy the time together. Now, we've read our text, so let me go over a few things for those that may not have been here last week or were out in other responsibilities. But as I said last week, many Christians have a problem with their hearing. I have problems with my hearing, and I put my hearing aids on each and every day that I come to church. There's sometimes I don't wear them because sometimes I don't want to hear what's going on around me. But sometimes if we're not careful, we get caught up as Christians and we really don't want to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say. And that is not a good time. Look, the only person that we should never turn off is the Spirit of God. But yet I think too many times we do. Here's the example. We hear Satan with surround sound, but we hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit with the old 8-track sound that jammed easily and was unreliable. But we are to have our listening ears on when God is speaking. See, the power of sin is real and has a wicked pull on the lives of millions and millions of people today. Being saved does not mean that Satan has given up on you. He is actively trying to discourage and destroy the testimony of believers. If he can't have you, he will do all he can to destroy your testimony, to keep you from being a godly example for others to see. You see, every Christian struggles with sin. There is no one that can live above sin. We are going to struggle, but the thing is, what do we do about our struggles? Will it be temptation, anger, alcohol, tobacco, lying, gossip, deceit, selfishness, and the list can go on and on. But here in the book of Romans chapter 6, it teaches the sanctification of the Christian, us being set apart. If we truly desire to become more like Christ, then we must recognize that God's work of sanctification is an ongoing work. It is never finished. There is always adjustments that need to be made in our life that we might grow and be more like Him. I am so glad that my Lord is still working on me. I have not arrived. I'm not to the place where I do not need His help any longer. I will always need His help until I get to glory. 1 John chapter number 2. Verses 15, 16, and 17. The Bible says, love not the world. And there's the biggest problem so many Christians have. They're more concerned about the world and the things of the world than they are of godly things and being in the house of God. It says, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Dear friends, as believers, how do we overcome the temptation of the flesh? Last week we looked at by refusing to abuse the grace of God. This morning we'll go on a little further. Point number two, by remembering what baptism represents. Here in our text in verses 3 through 7, we see referring to baptism. Know you that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death. The word baptize means to plunge or to dunk or to go under. Here we have that beautiful picture as we stand in that baptistry representing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And by the way, that means going under according to the word of God. See, when they bury somebody, they just don't go out in the desert and throw a few grains of sand upon them. No, they dig a hole and put them in it. And that's what baptism represents. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an identification with his death. Again, in verse 3, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We are buried with him. We are planted or grafted with him. And we are to be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. We are dead to the old nature. Look at verse 6 and verse 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin be not destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. See, the unregenerate man was put to death when Christ redeemed us. There in verse 6, the cross destroyed the body of sin or rendered it inoperable. If there has been no change since you've trusted Christ, there has been no change as you begin to follow the Lord, we have to ask yourself, did you truly repent? Were you born again? First of all, you can't be saved unless you turn from sin and turn to Christ. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, help me. Again, it does not mean we'll not ever sin again, but we will not continually to live a life of sin with no conscience or concern about it. You see, the cross destroyed the body of sin and rendered it inoperable. In some churches, I'm afraid, a perverted brand of liberty is taught or tolerated. Immorality, anger, and gossip abound. There should be a change. You see, the old nature should never be normal Christian living. There should be a change that takes place. And as we see the illustration of being buried in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, there should be a definite change in our life when we trust Christ. The Bible tells us, and by the way, baptism does not wash away your sins. That's the first step of obedience, because if it washed away your sins, the next person coming in, I guess, gathers yours as well. It just doesn't work that way. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 and verse through verse 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Again, in our text in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. My friend, when a person receives Christ, by faith, they became a partaker of the Holy Spirit, and the old man is destroyed. So let me challenge you, let me encourage you, don't resurrect him. Boy, he was buried when you trusted Christ. Leave him there. Again, that baptism is just illustrating what Christ has done for us and what you already did when you turned to Christ. Leave the old resurrected, the old dead man, leave him in the ground and say, Lord, help me to be that new creature in Christ. You see, there's really only two choices on the shelf here. Pleasing God or pleasing self. We have to make that decision. I've trusted Christ. I have a desire to serve him. I want to please him and not the old nature. And please don't misunderstand me. Hey, I might be up here higher on the platform, but I'm not higher than you. I know what it's like to struggle with sin. I know what it's like for the old temptation. I know what it's like when the old Satan resurrects his head. And I think I've given this example. I'll share it again and I'll go on. I got saved at a young age. But God dealt with my heart as a teenager about ministry and about giving up some habits in my life that I needed to get rid of. And one of those, as I mentioned before, is I'm from down south. I started chewing backer when I was 5 years old. I started using the snuff when I was a preteen. And when God got a hold of my heart and decided, hey, I'm not dead to Christ. There's some things that are in my life that are hindering me from being what I need to be, and I need to get rid of those things. You know, for the next 7 years, even though I quit almost cold turkey, I still reached in my back pocket every time I went fishing, every time I went hunting for something that had not been there for years. For years. And it also didn't help that Michelle said, you ain't kissing me with that mouth. That helped as well. Yes, dear friends, identification with his death. But letter B, also notice identification with his resurrection there again back in verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We are raised with him. That aspect there, that phrase, newness of life, comes from the Greek word kerios, which means a new quality or a new character. We have changed. See, when the Holy Spirit moves in and takes residence, he starts cleaning house. And if we allow him, he'll clean it up the way he wants it and the way that it should be. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Dear friends, when we allow the Lord to move in and take residence and give him free reign, things happen, things take place, lives are cleaned up, lives are changed, and God does a miraculous work. Dear friends, we are raised with him, but also we are to walk, as I mentioned, in newness of life there again in verse 4. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man, woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Folks, I don't know about you. I'm glad my sins are washed away. I'm glad they're gone, gone, gone. My sins are gone. I'm glad they're as far as the east from the west. I'm glad that God has decided to remember them no more when I trusted him as my personal Savior. And when Satan comes along to discourage him, me, I just remind him to go back where he came from, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And dear friends, he is there to help us. Yes, I know that change of life, those things that take place when the Lord moves in, doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual thing that takes place. There are some that God just moves in and they're able just to yield and throw it all out and let God have complete control. It took me a little longer. I struggled with some things in my teen years. But I tell you what, I have no regrets except for one, that I didn't allow him to fully clean house when he moved in. But I'm so glad that he's still working on me. Dear friends, as believers, how do we gain victory over the temptation of sin? Refusing to abuse the grace of God last week and today by remembering what baptism represents. And then number three, or number two this morning, but number three in our series, by reckoning ourselves alive unto God. By reckoning ourselves alive unto God. The Bible tells us in verse 11 through 13, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's a good banking word. You ever reconcile your account? You ever reconcile those numbers? Tell you what, when you reckon those things, when you reconcile those, it's not a matter of what I feel like or what I identify as being in my bank account. It tells you what's really there. And when we reckon ourselves to Christ, he tells us who we are in him, what needs to be cleaned up, what needs to be reconciled, and what needs to be changed. But we have to allow him and yield ourselves to him. In case you didn't know, I'm a little excited this morning. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yes, they say that the old man is crucified is one thing, but to reckon the old man as dead is another. Dear friends, count on it. We can reconcile. We can put to account. We can count on that we know, that we know, that we know that we're saved because God said He gave His life. He rose again. He said, if I repented and trusted Him, I can count on it. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but there's, have you ever woke up and feel like you didn't deserve to be saved? You ever got under conviction so bad about the way you're living, repented and got right with God and felt like, how can I live this way? Boy, I tell you what, I'm so glad I don't depend on emotions. Hey, amen? I'm glad I can reckon with God and I know that I'm saved. And when I get under conviction, I can get it right. Here's what my concern is. The person who say they're a believer, but yet they have no problem with continuing to live in the sin. They're living a dangerous life. Dear friend, if you can continue to live in sin and say you're a believer, there's something wrong. Either you're not saved or you better get ready because the Lord's going to take you home early. That's the bottom line. There's no other option. It's not a matter of how I feel or what I think. It's what the Bible says. To say again that the old man is crucified is one thing, but to reckon the old man dead is another thing. Dear friends, we reckon things every day. Single day. Here's an illustration. When we see speed limit sign, we have a reckoning, unless you live in Arizona. Then the better reckoning would be if you're driving through a school zone. We are reckoned. We automatically just put that foot over the brake and we let off the gas. Come on now. We see that sign. We're in a school zone. We're in a construction zone because the fine's double. It doesn't apply on Interstate 10. I know this is my hobby horse. I'm traveling down there 75, 77 miles an hour. It's like a speedway. It's like I'm sitting still. People are just flying by me. There's no reckoning to the speed limit signs. But yet, get in a school zone. Get in a danger zone. People slow down. Or let them see the state trooper or Buckeye or Goodyear Police Department on the side of the road. Boy, before you even look at your speedometer, your foot automatically goes to the brake and off the gas pedal, and you look at your speed. It's just boom. You're reckoning with what's taking place in your life. And dear friends, there should have been a reckoning in our life when we realize our sinful condition and that we needed Christ. There should be that reckoning that we know who we are in Christ. Dear friends, when we see God's word, we have a reckoning. Either we believe the victory is ours or we don't. See, it's not a matter of emotions. It's not a matter of feeling. Because some days my emotions aren't too good. And dear friends, I raised three girls. And I can remember a time that I felt like married to a woman, having three girls. I thought I lived in a girl's dorm. Couldn't get to a bathroom. Had three of them in the house. And I still couldn't get to the bathroom. Had to put a time limit or timer on it. But you know what? I wouldn't trade any of it for the world. And then there was a time, of course, my son come along and we were going in different directions trying to find a place to go to the bathroom or to get in to wash up. It is what it is. But the point I'm trying to make here is either we believe the victory is ours or we don't. It's not a matter of how I feel or what I think. Because by the way, your mind will lie to you. Your emotions will lie to you. Anxiety will pick up and maybe confuse you or concern you and cause you to doubt. But dear friends, when you doubt your salvation, when you doubt some things, it's really easy. Just remind yourself. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It refers to talking about in the heart of our mind that whosoever, what, believeth with our mouth, confession is made into salvation. Believe in our hearts. Dear friends, if you've been there's been a time in your life where you realize you're a sinner, knew you were on your way to hell, knew that you deserved it, but you reckoned and you stopped in your tracks and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me and save my soul. If you've had that reckoning, there's no need to doubt. Satan may tempt you. Satan may be critical of you because if he can get you down and discourage you, what good are you to be witnessing and encouraging other Christians? Because he'll stifle you. He'll cause you to put your tongue in your back pocket, have lockjaw, because you're concerned about what people think. But after all, I'm not living for him. How can I tell anyone else? The best thing to do is just get right with God and just tell him to go back where he came from. and allow the Lord to help you and encourage you, because we, as believers, we need to reckon ourselves alive unto God. We are dead to sin, dear friends, because of the cross. Galatians tells us in chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, he didn't come for the law. He gave his Son, God did, the Lord Jesus Christ, and crucified that we might have eternal life. Dear friends, I am crucified, Paul says, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Are you allowing the Lord to have free reign in your life? Many years ago, 1 year ago, I asked Michelle to marry me. 3 times. She laughed the first time, said no the second time, and I wore her down. She finally said yes. We got married, and she chose to take my name, Miss Deborah, now Michelle Cook. She doesn't have to be reminded what her last name is anymore. She knows that her official name is Deborah Michelle Googe Cook. I mean, Cook's a lot better than Googe, isn't it? Anyway. Just kidding. Just kidding. I love the Googe family. It gave me my beautiful bride. But she willingly chose to take that name, and she wears it. And we've named all of her children with the last name Cook. It's a shame today that we have many believers that are afraid to be labeled as Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Christ. It's gotten so common today that I don't really like to always use the word Christian. Sometimes I say I am a follower of Christ. I believe in him. I am a Christian. But beyond just using the label Christian, I am a follower of Christ. I've reckoned myself to him. I am his son. He is my father. And I don't care if all the world knows it. And by the way, I'm not ashamed of my heavenly father, excuse me, my earthly father or my earthly mother, Doug Cook Sr. and Jesse Berlin Cox Cook. They are my parents. I love them and I would never deny them. Why should I deny my heavenly father? Dear friends, we should live in such a way to the folks to know that not only we're saved, but that we are proud to be believers. Positionally, I am victorious. Practically, I must remind myself, according to verse 12 and 13, I must yield to him. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield is a word that speaks to the heart. At the heart of worship is a yielded heart. Dear friends, if we're going to have the right type of worship, we must yield our life. At the heart of worship is a yielded life. Have we yielded ourselves of the things of the world? Just like when we see the police officer out there, because we're ignoring those speed limit signs, but when we see that speed limit, that police officer, how we yield that speed, when we see sin, we see sinful things, do we yield to those things and saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to turn away. Lord, help me not to observe. Lord, help me not to want to listen in. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, behind every tragedy of human character lies a long process of wicked thinking. Let me say that again. I think I put that quote in your bulletin. Behind every tragedy of human character lies a long process of wicked thinking. See, folks, this doesn't happen overnight. Satan introduces you just a little bit. See, nothing's happened. Nothing took place. You've heard me say it before. Nobody wakes up and says, I'm going to fall into sin, embarrass my family, and be ashamed unto the Lord. It happens over a process of time. When we yield to worldly things, instead of the things of God. Often what we call a lack of discipline is a lack of devotion. A lack of devotion. Folks, it's not just a thing of devotion, but are we willing to yield to Him? Lord, I am yours. You are mine. I'll start my day with you. I'll look to you for guidance and yield to Him. Yes, dear friends, we are dead to sin because of the cross, but also we are alive to God through Christ, as we read in verse number 11. He gives salvation. John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible tells us again in Romans 5, verse 23, 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But then there's that conjunction. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives not only salvation, but He gives eternal life. Verse 8 tells us, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, no more death have no more dominion over Him. Dear friends, victory is available. We can overcome the power of sin. Don't worry about trying to live the rest of your life sin free. Don't worry about trying to do all that you can through all generations. Just do it one day at a time. What the old butcher say, the best way to eat a cow is one steak at a time. The same way we live our life, just one day at a time. I've used the illustration before. This over here, and by the way, this over here might be sin for me, doesn't necessarily mean it is for you. Come on now. There are some things I've decided to abstain from because whether a former addiction or whether something I'm afraid might pull me in, I've just decided to stay away from it. So this zone here represents sin for me, and let's let it be sin for you for right now. Now, I can make a choice. I can say, you know, I think I'll just go ahead and keep my distance. I'd rather be next to my mother-in-law than next to that sin over there. Well, I'm on today, aren't I? I'm on. Now, by the way, Mom, if you're listening, you know I love you. Now, I can dwell over here, but it doesn't take much for me to fall into sin from here. But if I'm over here and I decide to keep a good, healthy distance, you know, I'm just going to flee from sin. I can slip up a little bit, still not fall into sin. In fact, I could probably go farther than I really, really should go or want to go and still not quite be in sin. But dear friends, if you're going to camp out and hang around all day long, eventually you're going to fall in. Unless you're a government worker, you can stand there and work all day and do nothing, amen? Now, we've got to, boy, I'm really on today. We have got to make a decision in our life. Victory is available. Apply the truth of Calvary daily, and sin will not dominate your mind, your emotion, or your will. Daily. Dear friends, I know some people eat to live. I live to eat. I don't eat three meals a day. I eat one all day long. I just enjoy it. And we need to make a decision. Hey, if I want to stay away from sin, I've got to make a decision. Just once a day with the Lord might not be enough. I might need to have Him two or three or four times a day. I can't just read and study and pray all day long. I've got other things to do around the church and to take care of my family, but I can go see Him as often as I need to. Now, the hospital might be a place for sick folks. The doctor might be a place for sick folks, and I tend to break out every time I go to one, but needless to say, He's there when I need Him. And dear friends, our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't have to make an appointment. I don't have to be concerned. It doesn't matter if I'm way over here. Boy, my foot's not bothering me at all today. I could be way over here, or I could be all the way over here, right next to sin, right wandering around it. And all I have to do is say, Lord, help me. I don't have to continue. I don't have to go on. Lord, help me get back here where I need to be. Lord, help me to flee from sin. Help me to turn my eyes, to turn my mind. Lord, wash it away. But see, we have to make a decision. We have to decide that we're going to do that. Apply the truth of Calvary daily. Dear friends, as believers, how do we overcome the temptation of sin? We refuse to abuse the grace of God. We remember what baptism represents, his death, burial, and resurrection. And we reckon ourselves alive unto God. Folks, I don't know about you, if I want to be alive for anyone, I want to be alive for the Lord. I want him to use me to make a difference. You see, there are only two, again, I mentioned earlier, only two choices on the shelf. It's either pleasing God or pleasing self. Dear friend, you will never be able to please God as you come to him for salvation. That's the first step. Christian, you will never please God by continually pleasing self by abusing the grace of God. A Christian who's saved by grace, who continues to live a life of sin, is a disgrace to grace. Let me say that again. A Christian who's saved by grace, who continues to live a life of sin, is a disgrace to grace. Don't refuse or neglect the grace of God. Miss Marlene, would you come, please? Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, no one looking around. We'll just have a moment of prayer here in just a moment and invitation. If God has spoken to your heart in some way, if I can be a help to you or pray with you, I'm here. But our pianos will begin playing in just a moment. I'll ask you across the auditorium, if you'll just bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. I just simply want to ask a few questions. No one's looking. I'm the only one that will see. I will not come to you. I will not pull you aside. I will leave it fully to you. If you're here this morning, you'll say, preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I have reckoned myself to God. If I died today, I don't know for sure that I'd be on my way to heaven. But would you pray for me? I sure would like to know. Anyone like this, slip your hand up and down. Pastor, pray for me. Not seeing a hand, I rejoice in the Lord. Maybe you're here today and just by the uplifting hand, I don't know the details. You say, Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to my heart today. Thank you for the message. Yes, I see hands going up all across the auditorium. Let me ask you now, why not do what's best? We're going to have a word of prayer. Our pianos are going to begin playing. Why not thank God for the message? Thank God for his word that was delivered in the message and ask God what he'd have you to do about it. Where you stand or here at the altar, you do business with the Lord. Father, bless this time now as we have this time of invitation. Speak to the hearts of your people. You saw the hands. You know the needs. And Father, may we all yield ourselves to reckon ourselves to you, Lord, that we might be prepared to give an account, that we might be used of you. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed, the piano is playing. If God has spoken to your heart, where you stand,